How can federal regulators keep consumers safe from financial predators?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We're going to get to that big question in just a moment. First, though, we got news just moments ago that the number of newly unemployed people filing for jobless benefits fell by 11,000 last week. That's a little more than analysts had thought. Now, those same analysts say the Labor Department report is a bit of good news on an otherwise weak job market. Now the big question, which is how can regulators better protect consumers? The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner are meeting today to talk about how to build a new consumer watchdog and what it's going to take to get it going. Reporter Janet Babin is with us live to talk about what we know so far. Good morning, Janet.
Hey, Steve.
Remind us what this new agency is supposed to do.
So this is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and it's going to regulate everything from credit cards to mortgages. This agency was created as part of that sweeping federal overhaul legislation signed last week by the president, and this was one of many parts of the law that banks had fought.
All right, so we have the Fed Chair Bernanke and Secretary Geithner and the regulators going to address the bankers' concerns today?
Well, this is really about the work of getting it up and running. The future battle is going to be over how far this bureau can go in limiting what financial products are allowed on the market. Greg McBride's an analyst at the personal finance website, Bankrate.com, and he says this new bureau is going to have to show a little temperance.
It's going to have to be very deliberately done so that they're representing the interests of the average consumer while not stifling the innovation in the marketplace that's so critical to recovery.
All right, so we've talked about what the agency's going to do. Any news today about what it's going to look like, Janet?
Well, staffing is still happening. The Washington Post reports that employees from several federal agencies, including Treasury, could be assigned to work at this new bureau. And we still don't know, Steve, who's going to head the bureau up. President Obama is reviewing several candidates, including Elizabeth Warren.
Janet Babin reporting live for us. Janet, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Shares in Europe are slightly higher at the moment. Investors upbeat about a good economic report for the countries using the euro currency. Asian stocks closed a little higher today as well. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ lost a little, under 1%. The Dow gave back about 0.3%, 39 points, to close at 10,497. Well, we just passed 100 days since the Gulf of Mexico oil disaster began, and today, thousands of miles away, in Boise, Idaho, of all places, a giant legal battle over the environmental and financial implications begins. A panel of federal judges will decide how to handle more than 250 lawsuits related to that incident. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark reports.
The judges will look at how to consolidate the cases, and, just as important, where. Here's why geography matters. The lawsuits involve a complicated web of liability and billions of dollars. So plaintiffs and defendants want every edge they can get. That includes the sympathies and conveniences that might come with a friendly location. BP's lawyers want the court to be in Houston, aka Oil City. They say it makes sense because the company has headquarters there and it's an airline hub. But many of the people suing BP say New Orleans is a better site, closer to where the oil spill actually happened and the people it's affecting most. Georgine Vero, a professor at Loyola Law School, says the federal panel will weigh those factors, but will probably say,
I don't really care where you want to be. Here's where we're going to put you. And they have, over time, chosen neutral forums.
Wherever the cases wind up, the chosen city could get an added economic boost. It will host thousands of lawyers, witnesses, and members of the media for years to come. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store.
The recession has not been kind to real estate developers, but a little-known U.S. immigration program is helping get some big development projects off the ground in an unexpected way. From station WCPN, Dan Bobkoff tells us how it's working in Cleveland.
In their heyday, the flats along the Cuyahoga River were a hub of shipping and industry. Then manufacturing collapsed, and the flats were reborn as a party spot with bars and nightclubs. That scene died a decade ago. In 2005, developer Scott Wolstein unveiled a half-billion-dollar plan to rebuild the flats. Then came the financial crisis.
Until the fall of 2008, financing was pretty easy to come by.
Wohlstein couldn't get credit, and the Flats East Bank project was put on hold. But cranes may soon be moving into place after all. A group of foreign investors have put up $20 million to get the development off the ground. They come from countries as diverse as England, China, and Brazil.
Immigrants basically built the U.S., and will continue to do so.
Eddie Zai is an immigrant himself, and he's using that experience to encourage other foreigners to make investments in the U.S. He runs the Cleveland International Fund, and thanks to a once obscure U.S. immigration program, he can offer one huge incentive. It's called EB-5, and here's the deal. Invest in the U.S. economy, create at least 10 jobs, and you can be on a fast track to a green card, months instead of years. Zai says the wealthy foreigners are willing to put up with piddly returns for what they really want.
Primarily, it's education for the children and access to health care for themselves.
The number of investors getting green cards through the program has nearly tripled during the recession. Not everyone is thrilled, though. Ira Melman is with the Federation for American Immigration Reform.
You know, I think most Americans would find it inherently objectionable that we are selling admission to the United States.
But Zai says this immigration program is just like first class versus coach on an airplane.
The method of getting into the flight between going through TSA security is the same like everybody else. The way the flight operates is like everybody else. But they're just paying a higher amount to get in.
And Zai is not stopping. Next, he hopes to get more foreign investors to put money into Cleveland's film and healthcare industries in exchange for that first-class green card. In Cleveland, I'm Dan Bobkoff for Marketplace.
And finally, the Texas Rangers baseball team filed for bankruptcy protection back in May. But superstar third baseman Alex Rodriguez, known to the world as A-Rod, has formally objected. He says the Rangers still owe him $25 million in deferred pay after the team traded him to the New York Yankees in 2004. Considering by some estimates, A-Rod is worth more than the Rangers team as a whole, we're unsure of whether he'll buy the team, pay himself, and trade the umpires just for fun. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Check us out online at marketplace.org and share your thoughts with us and follow me on Twitter, Chiatakis MMR. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.